our headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another Friday night, another edition of Bumper to Bumper. My name is Jamil Ismail, and today is a very, very special episode. You guys have been being warned for a few weeks now that very soon I'm going to be traveling solo. Well, I won't say it's a lie, but things have changed and I managed to twist someone's arm. And I want to introduce him. Ziad, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Jamil, and to all the listeners out there.
You got this down, man. You got this down. Have you been practicing since last week, since our conversation?
No.
You've just overtaken my 4-week reign, just like that.
I'm a co-driver. I'm just
equal driving. We stopped in Harry Smith. We swapping over. But that's it. Tell people where you're from and what exactly do you do. I want to jump in a bit later on with how we met. It's quite a story.
Jamil's putting me on the spot here. Uncle Ashraf actually put me on the spot. It's a big shoes to fill, a big seat actually to fill. I'm not even radio ready. I'm not even dressed for the radio today. I was just supposed to observe. But alhamdulillah, I'm here. My name is Ziad Plachis. Some of you might know me. I'm the co-founder of ilovezda.com. So we're a digital media marketing and advertising company. And Jamil will actually tell you the story of how we met.
So we've got an interesting one. It was the launch of the Suzuki Grand Vitara, right? And it was in Ramadan. It was a big night. It was
the last 10 days. But yes. Yeah.
and I remember this specifically, you know, we flew down to George. I hadn't met you yet. We basically got our driving partners and along scenic routes, we get to the first destination, which is lunch. Obviously, we're not eating, we're fasting. And it was around the 3 o'clock mark where you start feeling the fast, or at least for me, you know, those crackers start looking quite appetizing. And I looked up and I saw Ziad, and I think we made eye contact. I looked again and you were at my side, and I remember you like, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you? Are you looking for a place to pray Salah?" That was the opening line. And I mean, when you start a relationship on that note, it can only be positive from there, right?
Gee, no, well, I saw your name tag and I saw Jamil Ismail, and then I was like, I wonder if this brother knows where are we going to make Salah, where are we going to break our fast. We're in the middle of nowhere.
We were in George in some at a
but guest. Not even in George. We were outside of George.
We were outside of George at a guest farm. Farm being the word, mm-hmm. Right? And since then, you've kind of like had my back throughout, because Ziad's always the guy to, you know, when the halal food is served, come and look for me, or you know, at any of
or just George. Order it. Just tell them there's another person that needs halal food.
And then the big one where I realized, you know, I'm going to probably see Ziad quite often was the day when we were flying back. That morning after praying, it's that early morning, a really nice golden hour. And I set off with my drone, videoing different things. And along the way, somehow, I got trapped into to offloading all this footage. And I almost missed the flight back, and it's because of you. I just remember you saying, "Hey, what's going on?" Like, everyone was done. They were waiting to depart, and I was like walking towards the accommodation. I'm not sure if you remember this morning.
No, well, I remember, because I was frantically looking for you. That's why I remember, because I went to your tent, and I'm like, "Jamil's not here, but his stuff is not packed, and we're ready to go. Where is this guy?" And to top it all off, because we had just met, we hadn't even exchanged numbers. So I didn't have your number.
Yes.
And I'm looking all over, where is Jamil? He must be somewhere, because his bags are still here. And you were the only one that had your bag still there.
Yes.
Everyone else had it checked out.
I remember because when I walked back to, like, you know, it was like a series of tents. I was like maybe the fifth or sixth tent, and every tent that I walked or well, ran past were all like cleared out, and I'm like, okay, no, this is a problem. I remember just stuffing all my things back into a bag. I think I left my phone charger and
yeah, you had to go back.
Go back. And I literally ran. You know when you're running so fast with a trolley bag that it's not actually touching the ground? That was it. Yeah. That was that day. But thank you for not leaving me behind. I would have still been stuck in Georgia.
It's only a pleasure. No man left behind.
No man. That's it. That's going to be our motto. Right? So, Zia, tell us a bit about you. You're from Durban, right? And tell us, how did you get into cars? Is it just the boy thing that took over? Is it something that, like
so growing up in Durban, like you just said, it's
no, but
hard.
You guys are not into
it's
cars.
Hard not
guys,
to be
no.
into cars.
You guys are into rims and suspension. Not
no,
into
but
cars.
It's cars. It's the whole culture. It's a different culture in Durban. I mean, you can't drive a standard car. Firstly, growing up when I don't know how it is now. Listeners will tell us: is the culture still there? But you just grow up with that. And I mean, my dad also being on the road a lot, so you know, traveling was a big thing for me.
What did he do?
So he was like a rep.
Okay.
You know, he would go out to Northern Natal at that time, right. They used to call it, and then call on the stores and whatever. So I used to go with him, and so I used to travel with him. And, I mean, we went through, you know, the Toyota Cressidas and the E-Class, E230, you know, the one with the really big boot and the aircon with that was like a fridge.
Yes.
So you know, you grow up with those type of things, and obviously, like I say, the car culture. So once you hit campus, you know, you want to get. And my first car was a Polo Player.
Okay. Fitty.
Yeah. So. So
what is the first mod you did to it? Because obviously, there's
no. No, so I didn't do any mods. So my thing wasn't all about, you know, like. Getting the engine modifications, and it was more, it needed to look nice, you know, it needed to have a nice set of rims. Right. We had a little bit of sound.
Right, for your machines.
yes, for the machines. You know, Radio Al Ansar down in Durban, and Channel Islam as well. So it was more of that. Okay. You know, we did race a bit, and people thought I was driving a 1.6, but it was actually a 1.4 at the time.
It's funny what a convert again.
So it was more of that, you know, like just having a decent looking car that got you from point A to point B, but that you also were proud of. You know, that type of thing. And I've always been a VW fan.
Okay, so same like brother in tandem. He's a big VW fan, apparently.
But over the years, it's changed. You know, being in the motor industry and testing all these cars, we don't get VW, by the way, if they're listening.
Something that needs to change. Right? Yeah. Something that needs to change.
Right? So my affiliation has slowly shifted a bit. But, you know, it's still a very reliable car. I love it. I've been through all the Polo Player to the Polo Hatch to the Polo Vivo to the Polo Sedan to the.
So you know, followed it. Like, I mean, that car grew up with you.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
it did. So it basically did.
Okay.
Yeah. And then obviously, you know, like growing up, I was introduced to Matchbox.
Yes.
Not so much Hot Wheels at the time. Matchbox was the big thing.
I always find Matchbox like more authentic. Look, Hot Wheels is I'm not into this futuristic looking cars and the Batmobiles and stuff like that. Like this is me personally. If ever I purchased a model car, a toy car, it was always a replica of a car that existed.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Not like some rocket engine.
Yes. You know, No, so that was also my thing, was that it was more production cars. And I had a big collection. And then unfortunately, when I moved to Joburg, then I had to get rid of it because, you know, space-wise and everything. But yeah, so growing up with that as well, you know, you want to get a car that was on the road, and growing up with that collection, the F1 as well, you know, that all influenced where I was heading. I didn't know, like, it wasn't, I didn't pursue it as such, you know, to say I want to get into motoring. It almost like, you know, when you're guided and you're on the straight path, that's more of how I ended up. And alhamdulillah, I'm enjoying every minute.
So how long are you doing this for?
So the cars,
just to explain to the listeners, right? You have a website called I Love ZA, and within there, there's obviously facets to this website. So the one major part that you you look after is the vehicles. We do vehicle reviews. So how long have you been doing that for?
So the vehicle reviews. So the website we've had from 2015.
Okay.
And I probably wrote my first article then about motoring. It was about purchasing a new car, you know, like starting a family. Okay. And because my son was born in 2014, so, you know, we were looking for, we had a hatch and we were looking for something.
You know,
something
I struggle to get people to talk about this. But just to break it off before we carry on, when you're doing that, it's not just space you're looking for, right? Like when you, I'm about to, say, you're about to be a father for the first time. There's obviously the point where you have to leave the polo player, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just space that you're looking for when you're looking to buy a vehicle.
No, well, you have to. There's a lot of things to consider. Mm-hmm. I mean, you must know that for the next 10 years, you're not going to get a new car.
That's the most important.
Because you have to face reality, and you have to know that you're not going to get a new car unless you have a fantastic job.
Yes.
Where you can change your car every 2 or 3 years, you're going to be stuck with that car for some time.
So now we're also giving you some insight. Motoring journalists don't get paid well.
No, not at all. So that was one thing that we looked for. Obviously, safety is the other thing, because now as a new parent, you're looking at ISOFIX, something you've never heard about in your life. And, you know, like, how do you get the car seat in? Where do you put the car seat? What type of car seat? There's so many different types of car seats.
Yes.
Because when they, a certain age, it has to be facing back. When they grow up, then there's the booster.
Yes.
And there's this and that and whatever. So that's like a whole nother conversation.
Yes.
So there's that. Then obviously you, because the budget is going to be tighter, you have to look for something that's economical. Well, you mostly look for something that's economical, unless you're into sports cars, performance cars.
I mean, even if you're into it, I mean, you have no choice now.
Yeah.
I mean, we had this small debate, my dad and I, on air, actually. And he says you need to be responsible and it's over. And I said there's plenty of vehicles that are out there that still provide a reasonable or a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, it depends if you have the money for it, but like an Alfa. I mean, that's practical. A Stelvio, practical with a nice drive.
Practical, yeah.
RS4 is very practical. X5M is really practical.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, obviously price tags, you have to consider Huggies and whatever else.
Yeah, you have to consider everything. So you so those are the things. And then obviously, like you say, space. So when as a new parent, you're also looking at how do I fit the stroller into this boot?
Yes.
Is the stroller going to... That's like you go there and then you visualize and then you think, should you get the stroller there to the dealership to put it in to the
So I have advice for first-time dads specifically. If you recently purchased a stroller and it's one of these fancy ones, which they all are, get a car that can fit your stroller, even if you can't close it, because there's going to be times where you don't remember which button to press first to close that thing. So you're going to be stuck with a half-closed stroller.
True.
Having to squeeze it in somewhere. It's not going to be the back seat because your little one's going to be on there. That's my advice. That's my parenting advice for today.
Yes. No, that's very true. You have to. That's one of the big things, is looking at the luggage space for the strollers. Some of us also take the whole crib and every, you know, we had one of those that was like a 3-in-1.
Same.
We had
the same money, so we got the 3-in-1.
And then traveling to wherever, even if you're traveling to Durban, for example, you take the whole house because you're not sure of what you need. You even take the bath with you. You know, as a first-time parent, you just, you basically dump everything in your boot. So
I know the way you pack with kids also is quite rough, because you're packing if it's a hot day, if it's a cold day, if it's an in-between day, if it's a warm day but it's raining, if it's like, there's just variables that you can't not address.
And you need the box of nappies as well.
The box,
box. not just a nappy bag, you need a whole box.
We travel in very similar manners, just from what you say. I'm being serious. We travel in very similar manners. I think what we need to do to properly get this show on the road, pun intended, we need to go out somewhere and do an outside broadcast. I think that will, somewhere nice.
I think that's a plan.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. But back to the motoring, right? Tell me something. Do you remember? Well, you definitely do. Well, what was your first test car?
So my first test car was a Peugeot 2008 SUV. Okay. It was in 2018. So this year was 5 years since, in February, was 5 years since we got our first test car.
So what was the process where you started your website, and then how long did it take before people started taking you seriously? Hey, listen, Mr. Ziad, come to the law and say, yes, do you want to test drive this car?
So we started in 2015. Well, yeah, like late 2014, early 2015. And like I said, in 2015, I wrote that first article. And I don't know, we were just, because we were trying to build a brand, and it's very difficult to build a media brand here in South Africa. And eventually, because of the name I Love ZA, you know, like people started...
It's a very catchy name.
Yeah. Started actually sending us articles, you know, press releases, and we published them not knowing, you know, like what was the my wife is actually the journalist, I'm the business part of it. And I started emailing and saying, you know, like, we're doing these press releases, you know, how about something in return? Not in return, but I mean, you know, you know, let's test a car or something. And I think it was probably 2017, so about 2 years after that. I attended a Renault launch, but at that time it was very difficult to get any test cars. You had to be part of the guild, the South African Guild of Motoring Journalists, SAGMJ. And you obviously, you needed to be nominated. So it was not only that you had a platform, whereas now if you just have a social media page, then we'll get into that. But yeah, so you had to be part of the guild. You had to be nominated, and obviously they would track your website statistics and all that type of thing. So it was quite a challenge to get a test car. But fortunately, in 2018, we attended my wife actually attended the Peugeot launch. Okay. She was invited, but I was there as well. And they said, do you not want to test a car for the weekend? And we were like, what? You know, like, you mean, like, we don't have to ask anybody, you're just asking us, do we want to? And then we were like, oh, definitely. So that started, you know, the process. But then that ended the process as well, because it was that weekend, and then we didn't hear from anybody until 2019.
Okay, so that's a while. Did you give the car back in a different manner?
So we did. We gave the car back. We wrote the review. We, you know, posted on social media. We did all the. We gave them the exposure.
Yeah.
we actually go above and beyond for anybody.
Yeah.
But we just, I think we were approaching it the wrong way. So we would say to people, we're going down to the Drakensberg, because we do, so travel is one of our things. We do everything. If you go on our website, you'll see we do food, tech, motoring, travel. Yeah. So we're going down to Drakensberg, for example, and we'd like to showcase one of your cars. We're going there for a week, and this is what we, you know, offer, because we were told that if you want anything, especially in the media industry, you have to have some sort of proposal.
Yes.
Because whether you're getting paid for it or not, a lot of it is not paid for.
Although we're trying, pain in his eyes.
Although we're trying to change that, so we said, you know, we're going down to Drakensberg, we can showcase your car, whatever. And we just either didn't hear back, or the fleet was fully booked, or, you know, we just didn't hear back. And in 2019, I can remember, I sent out a lot of emails. And I sent an email to Ford.
Right.
And we had done, like, a lot of press releases. So I said, you know, we've done this type of thing, and I tested one. And I think I had attended a few launches, but I just never got any test cars. And I just, you know, like, put it out there. And I didn't say, you know, like, we're doing anything special, but, you know, like, give us a chance and then let's see how it goes. And they came back and they gave us a Ford EcoSport at the time.
Yeah.
And it just started from there. They booked, like, a car off. I think it was probably the Focus or Figo, something at the time. And from there, alhamdulillah, it just, like, started, not snowballing, but the momentum started to kick in.
Yeah.
And I think in the first year, we probably did about 15 to 20 cars. And it's funny that we should talk about this, because the next car that we get, inshallah, will be our 100th test car.
Really?
Yeah.
Mashallah, that's amazing. Do you know what car it's going to be?
I know, but I'm not going to say.
Okay, okay.
We'll talk about it.
Is it something special to mark that 100?
I think it's something special for me, because this particular car, well, not obviously this particular car, but that model car, I really liked, and I have somewhat an affinity to. It's not a VW.
I know it's not a VW. We don't get VWs before.
But yeah, I think it's going to be something special. I think more so for my son. So my son does a lot of the reviews with me. He's actually taken over the reviews from me. So we do a lot on YouTube. You can see, and he started off where he just used to, you know, like, say what he wanted to say, but now he's like, and today we're reviewing this car, and we've got.
So when are we getting him on Bumper to Bumper?
He'll come. Don't tempt him because he will be here. Yeah. He's already bugging me. When are we going? Are we going to the Festival of Motoring this year?
Yes.
Last year was the Festival of Motoring, the M Fest. He's there.
We have to get him on the show.
So yeah. So, inshallah.
Maybe he can break a record to be the youngest. I wonder if this is the youngest presenter on CI.
Well, he's the youngest motoring journalist, let me tell you that.
Okay, cool.
And he, I'm not just saying that because he's my son, but he's, I've seen him grow.
Right.
You know, at first it was just because he was there, I allowed him to talk and whatever. Now it's like, what do I have to say about the car? Because he's saying everything, you know? And he has his favorites. So he says these are his favorite features about the car, whether it's, it started off with the top three, but now it sometimes goes to five or even 10 things.
Look, I don't blame him. There's some.
And then he even, sometimes he even says the whole car. So, you know, the ones that he really likes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's something special, especially for him.
Okay, I'm very Well, I can't wait to see what it is. But also, you had a defender last week, right?
A few weeks ago, yes,
How
we
was it?
did. It was good. So we had actually the Defender 110 in 2020 or 2021.
Okay.
So this is more of the
Did
facelift.
You go for the launch of it?
No, we didn't go for the launch. But so we had that, the 110. We took it down to, is it Nebeja? PE. Let's just call it Port
yes,
Elizabeth. And we also traveled through the Karoo with it.
Right.
An extraordinary, extraordinary car. The capabilities
when you,
of
When you say you went like gravel, right?
Like gravel.
Okay.
And, you know, like, tested it out, like, we were going, like, 100 to 120 on a gravel road.
Yeah.
You don't feel, it's like you're driving on a normal
car. It's
got
an air suspension, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it just soaks everything up.
And not only that, we were going so fast, there was a rabbit or something that...
No,
that,
you didn't.
No,
okay.
We didn't.
Okay. I wanted to know what was for supper that evening.
I swerved to get out of the way, and the car actually brought itself back. I kid you not. Alhamdulillah. That I don't know what it was, but that car just positioned itself back onto the road.
Yeah.
There was no damage. There was no whiplash. There was... The bunny made it across the road. You know, it was phenomenal, to say the least. So this year we had the, what you call like the facelift of
yes.
it. And again, we took it, you know, like we didn't take it out of Gauteng, although we wish we did.
Yeah.
But we did drive in the snow.
You know, I've been, so let me tell you. So you know my page, Find Your Adventure.
Yes.
For 3 years in a row, every single year, we don't make it. And it's just not in our, it's just not written for us, and it's fine. But it's been an idea where I really want to go. I've never experienced it personally, never ever. I don't know what snow is. You know, we in Pretoria, so we got the cold without the snow. We got the worst. But it's something I really want to do. Where did you take the car to?
We were in Joburg.
Right. Okay. That was, you just had to go. But let's do this, right? Next time either one of us get an off-roader, I'm going to take you to a mountain pass that's about 1.5 hours to 2 hours away from Johannesburg. It's going to blow your mind. Inshallah. Brother Ntando, can we break for an ad? I know I'm owing you one. We're currently talking about places that you can't take VWs unless it's the Amarok, which is amazing. But yeah, let's break for an ad.
From our headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. Brother Ntando, I thought we were doing a Nasheed. But okay, we're back and we are talking a little bit more serious things now. This is the motoring part of the motoring show. Brother Ziad, what happened in this week's motoring news?
So this week, Brother Jamil, we had three exciting new launches.
Mm-hmm.
One from Isuzu, one from Chery, and the other from Toyota.
Toyota dropped a bomb this week.
Yeah, Toyota Land Cruiser Prado. I don't know how to explain it. If you haven't seen pictures, just go and Google it now.
Right now.
And just see what it looks like.
In my personal opinion, this vehicle is, you know, if it was like manufacturers are doing this all the time, trying to make a retro modern. I think this one hits the nail on the head. I think it's better than the Defender. I think it's better looking than any of the Jeeps. And like this one hit it on the head. It's stunning.
No,
it's
I think
stunning.
Toyota have outdone themselves. I can't wait to test it.
Left to wait.
That's
next year, though.
That's something that we should take
yes.
up the mountain.
You know what, that one deserves a road trip of note.
Yeah, so the Prado, I think the first one was in the early 90s, if I'm not mistaken,
yes.
1990.
Yes.
So they're going on 33 years now. Well, if you were born in 1990, you know how old you are.
91. I was born in 91, but you had me puzzled. I was like, okay, let me just whip out the calculator. But the interesting thing about the Prado is they are amazingly reliable, very capable vehicles. I know this for two reasons. We own the Prado.
Okay.
Actually, the year that I got married, I used that to go on honeymoon.
Okay.
Yes.
Where did you go?
So funny story. We were supposed to take like a long honeymoon end of the year. So it was a very busy period for me at work. So we ended up going like just here to Mahalisburg. But I was into like off-roading since then. So I took my wife in gravel roads and mountain passes from then. So my dad had that Prado.
Which model?
This was, I think, maybe like a 2007-8.
Yeah, and the engine was there?
D4D.
Okay.
Yeah, it had this ridiculous thing which had a extended fuel tank. You do not ever pull up to the petrol pumps of that car and make a mistake of looking at the tank and saying, hey, you know what, it's on like say 3/4, just fill it up, because there's a light that you need to look for. If that light is not on, that means that gauge is actually showing the extended tank. And okay, you're looking, I mean, back then, fuel wasn't really expensive, or yeah, it's not as expensive as now.
Yeah.
you could literally spend like 2,000 to 3,000 rand filling your car.
Sure.
It was a massive tank. It had like, upgraded suspension. Okay. You know, in Pretoria, we raised the suspensions. You guys in Durban, lower. And just such a nice, capable, comfortable family car. And then a few years before that, with a Tesca, my father did this trip. It was called Coast to Coast. I can't remember which coast to which coast, but it was amazing. And he did so many thousands of kilometers. And he came back and he had been gone for like 2 to 3 weeks. So he felt, hey, let me spend some time with my son. I was like, hey, I want to go in this car. And he did all those kilometers with no problems. We took it here to Hanops, you know, the 4x4 course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we got a puncture.
Oh, gosh.
So quite the thing. But they definitely hit the nail on the head. I hear it's going to be just as capable, if not better. Well, what else is there?
So we have the Isuzu D-Max Arctic AT35. So if you remember, I think it was 2018, 2019, yeah. They came out with the AT35. Very capable 4x4.
Yeah.
And this is basically the new one. Again, something we'd like to test.
Definitely.
It's locally built.
Right.
In
right.
The Nebeha.
Because we can't say it keeps creeping up in every press release. Yeah.
So we'll just say the Struandale plant. That's where they're making it. And we're looking at a price range, I think, of just over $1.1 million on that. So that's the Arctic AT35. And then we've got Chery. So Chery is the buzzword
really, it is.
Around the country, especially yes. in KwaZulu-Natal.
Right, yes.
You'll see a lot of them on the roads there.
And have you driven any of them?
No, I haven't actually.
Okay.
So there's the Tiggo 8 Pro.
Okay.
So early last year, I think it was, they released the Tiggo 8 Pro, and now this is just a new one.
Okay, so this is more of a facelift, am I? It's like minor.
Upgraded. Yeah, so facelift.
Okay.
So there's new features, upgraded styling, and redesigned interior. It's got the 1.6 engine,
right.
So it's producing about 145 kilowatts.
Okay, that's
so
not bad.
It's quite capable.
Yes. Do you have a threshold for kilowatts? Like, you know that anything over this kilowatts is going to be a nice, fun, exhilarating drive?
Not necessarily. I think it depends on the car, because sometimes, it's just like your fuel consumption, they claim something,
yeah.
And what it actually, the output is totally different. So with the fuel consumption, they'll claim 5 liters, but you're actually getting 9 liters. Yes. When they say it's 145 kilowatts and you drive it and you think, but this thing feels like it's 70 kilowatts. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's very hard to tell. There are some engines that I feel are better suited to certain cars.
Yes.
The Renault Captur has quite a nice engine.
Okay.
I was actually quite surprised because I thought that should have been in the Clio. I was blown away with the Clio, the new Clio, Clio 5. Not because of the engine, well, the engine as well, the performance, but more because it was manual.
Yeah.
I'm still very much.
You don't find manual cars like hardly.
No.
Like, even the smallest little guys now, i20s, they give you an auto.
When I was growing up, if you got an automatic,
it was the slow old man's car. Eh?
Not only that, you had lots of money because it was more expensive.
So maintenance is higher on auto. Your fuel bill was higher. Yeah,
everything.
Yeah,
yeah. And you were like, why would you want to drive an automatic car? You know, like,
and before, you wouldn't find it in the smaller cars. I remember this because my grandmother had like a 2006 Toyota Corolla in auto, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this. If you wanted to overtake, you'd put your foot down, and it was almost as if the car took this massive deep breath, like before it started going.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I mean, in that time, that gap that you saw is gone.
That time you were still using the single clutch. Now it's the dual clutch and this and that, and you know.
I'm getting very lazy now. Like when I jump into a car and it's manual, I'm like, I mean, unless it's a performance car or something. Something where you're going to enjoy it. I really do like auto.
No, I still love to drive manual. For me, it's that feeling that you know that you're driving.
Yeah.
You know, you get the performance, the speed, and you know, you get some adrenaline when you're driving the automatic. But for me, changing the gears and you know, just feeling it and also pushing it.
Yeah.
To the highest possible rev that you could go before you're changing the gear, you know, just that for me is something. So, like I was saying, so the engines as well, like for Mazda, I feel that they use a similar engine in your CX-3 and the CX-5. And the CX-30, but it somehow works better in the CX-30 than it does in the CX-5.
They're basically in different states of tune, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about engines, I drove a car this week, right? It was, many people are not going to even know that they're back. It's a Proton, right? They're back in South Africa, and I was driving the X-50.
Okay.
It's their compact cross. And firstly, I honestly feel that this is Proton. You know, we have a bit of trust issues with Proton. They left us, right? I mean, they walked out on us. And,
okay.
let me tell you, they're back. They're sorry. And they definitely much better. Based on this vehicle, it's true asset. And you know what? If you are in a market to buy a small crossover, you've got maybe around. Look, the pricing is weird. It starts off at 399,900, but that's because of their 50,000 rand dealer assist. But it goes all the way up to, I think it's, is it 570, 580, or you know, I must just double check. But there's such a massive difference in price. Obviously, like I mean, the flagship, yeah, it's 570,000. It's a big gap. But the nice thing is, no matter which one you choose, you left with the engine. And the engine is an absolute gem. It's a 1.5-liter turbo. If I tell you that car has like zero turbo lag, it's so confident on the road. It's the gearing. It's just such a pleasure to drive. It feels premium. It feels good. What I like about Chery also, fine, they skimped on some of the features, right? There's no wireless charging. There's no Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, and that's like my biggest thing. And there's no automatic tailgate. I think that's a must. right?
Yeah.
You come there with your shopping, or your kid in your hand. It doesn't need to be the fancy one, but help us out. What it does have is, or what I like about it is, they don't waste features with, like, you know, that ambient lighting with 3,000 different colors. And it's pointless, right?
Some people like it.
I know, but, okay, are you a fan of it?
I'm not a fan of it, but it's something to get. You know who not first introduced it, but where I saw it first was Peugeot in their 2008. They had it on the roof lining. it was a thing at that stage. Yeah. So they hadn't introduced it in the doors and whatever, but they had it on the lining, wood lining, and it was a feature. Obviously now it's, because you see it all the time, so you
on
just...
On the C-Class, it's stunning, right?
And but that has, like, 35 different...
Okay, so I'm saying, why do we need 35? Why can't we have a red, a blue, a white? It should always be white. I set it to white the moment I get it. I don't like my car looking like chicken inside. You know, where that neon blue, I really don't like
it. People want to customize. People want to have...
You're giving people too many options. Okay, so let me ask you this, right? Would you have a good engine or ambient lighting?
No, obviously now you're talking, but you see, the thing is, you have to appeal to a wider market. You're looking at it at what you want, but what does everybody else want? Like you said, it doesn't have a automatic tailgate. Maybe some people don't mind it. I know I do mind when it does. But the Android Auto, and you drove the Beijing, the X55. That also, I don't know if you had a problem with the connecting your phone to that.
Yes.
So that uses a totally different thing. It's called Car BitLink or something. Car Link.
I can't remember what's in it, but I know they don't have...
So they've got their own system. And that could be a challenge.
Okay.
That the car itself, the engine, 1.5 turbo, they're using a Mercedes engine in there.
Who's this?
Beijing.
Oh yes, Beijing. Yeah.
Yeah. Bike.
So on that note, the Proton uses a Volvo drivetrain.
Yeah. So you see, so there you're getting the quality engine.
Yeah.
So like you said, are you going to choose the engine or the ambient lighting? But you know that you know you've got a reliable engine, and I mean, without the engine, your car is not running.
No, but okay, fine. That's putting it to one where there's no engine, right? But there's some engines that are just not. They don't produce a fun drive. Sometimes it doesn't even feel safe. Like some of these cars, turbo leg is honestly, it's not safe because, for example, if you get a green arrow and you first off the line, by the time that thing boosts while you're midway through the intersection, you literally, no, just it's the engine is. I feel. It's everything for the drive.
But you know what also you have to take into consideration is that we get the car for such a short time.
Yes.
You can't really, and I always say this, is that buying a car is such a big decision. But you spend 5 minutes making that decision because you go to a dealership, you test drive the car, and then you have to make a decision of spending 500,000 rand.
Yeah, but people listen to you on the show as well. There's someone out there who's like, listen, should I take a Moda, a C5? But listen, Jamil says Proton the one. So there's someone out there. We're helping someone.
No. This definitely is... you do the research. But what I'm trying to say is you have to also get the feel. So my point was that if you drive the car longer, maybe you won't get that lag if you understand the car better.
Sure.
When I jumped into the Beijing, I didn't know what was happening. I actually went to a dealership. It was because I still had the temporary plate.
Yeah.
But the guy took me through everything, and he showed me, and I was amazed. Because did you know that the tailgate, you talk about your automatic tailgates, did you know that you can set it at different heights?
Wait, what?
Yes.
Wait, to open.
To open.
That's amazing.
So if you put it at like 50%,
yeah,
my son can open and close it.
Yes. Okay. I get it. I'm pretty sure it has something to do with pets. I'm just assuming, and also like garage heights.
No, but also for a shorter person.
Yes. You know what? Let's hold on to this, Brother Hitando. We're gonna come back. Do we owe you one more ad break? Can we go for it now? We got myself and Ziad need to talk about this product.
CII, see the whole picture.
Is that us? Are we back? Okay, no. So, funny, during this very short ad break, Brother Intando, you're showing me off today. But during this short ad break, my wife actually sent a message saying, I'm not sure why we're changing gears in 2023. So, what? She is so dead. Is your car auto?
No, it's manual.
Manual, okay. But, okay, so basically it would be a nice one, the three of them, Proton, Beijing, and
so we must do a head-to-head comparison.
I think we should arrange those three cars.
We get
my dad involved, and we do a road test between the three of them, and we ask that they spec similarly.
Yeah, we can go here to Gerotech, just down the road from. I travel so far to get you, so it's not, you know, yes. Too far out. And we can test everything.
Yes, I think that will be fun. You know, the last time I've been to Gerotech was a while ago, but nice testing facility. Ziad, what's happening in the week coming up? What are we doing?
So this weekend, for those that don't know, there's Cars in the Park.
Big, big, big show. Please be here early because it gets crazy busy. Entrances are like shuffled. Traffic is just getting in and out of this area is difficult, right?
Yeah, all the stuff is on our website if you want to check. iloveziad.com.
So please check it out on Ziad's website. You can check him out on his Instagram as well. He's gonna.
You're on everything. You're on Instagram, everything. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn,
this
YouTube, TikTok, Threads now as well. So at iloveziad.com. But yeah, so that's happening this weekend. And if you are going in the Sandton area this weekend, please be advised.
Don't be advised
that there are road closures. Part of Catherine Street, Pibus Road, so all around the Mercedes-Benz dealership, the opposite Sandton City, if you know it. If you know it, you know it.
Yeah. you better know. That's the flagship dealership.
There's going to be road closures. There's something very exciting happening this weekend. We're going to talk about it next week.
Oh, we're just leaving it like that. We're not going to say what you're doing there. Okay.
No, we're going to talk about it next week. Right. So, Jazakallah.
Not a problem. It was really great having you here. Seriously, I feel like this is going to be fun. We've got a lot of new ideas that we bring to the show. Inshallah, but we also want to keep some of the essence of like old motorsport. We want to talk about our childhood heroes. We're going to be speaking to a lot of industry experts. As you know, maybe you should write on your page as well. Let's talk. Yeah. Buyer's guide. It was an interesting feature that we had a few times where people send us their car problems and we solve them. So that's something we want to go into a bit more. And then the nostalgia rides, the cars that were our heroes, the VR6s. And we'll go all the way back to muscle cars and everything.
Inshallah.
But Ziad, it was really, really great having you. I'm excited.
Jazakallah for having me on the show.
Yes.
And this lovely introduction today. But the listeners, we need to hear feedback from you guys.
Yes.
What do you want to hear more of? Jamil and I have our plans. But you listening to the show, I mean, like I said, Uncle Ashraf's been doing this for over 20 years now. So the listeners have become accustomed to a certain way that he does it. We are going to have a different spin on things. Um, but we also want to, take into consideration everybody
that shows definitely. I think that's a big thing. I do see the show becoming a lot more digital, in a sense where maybe Instagram Lives, Facebook Lives, we're going to be broadcasting from different places, inshallah. Next year, my goal, this is mine, I'm writing it down here. I want to go for a Simola Yoga.
Inshallah.
I think we need to do we missed it by 1 week this year, right?
Yes, we were there the week before.
We literally came back, we landed, and everyone else is just going back.
Yeah.
In fact, when we were there, I don't know if you noticed, but they actually started like set up.
But you took a different route.
I didn't see
that route that you took, because we drove all the way to the coast, and being living here in England, when you get any opportunity to go to the coast, you want to smell that ocean. Jamil went on the route that we weren't supposed to go. He smelled the ocean. We only saw dust and mountains, which was fun.
You know, as a quick one, right? There was another very memorable part. We got to our first stop, and I was with Justin, and we got there first, and we thought, hey, you know what? We did like really good on time and stuff. And then everyone started pulling in, all you guys, and your cars were covered in dust. And we're like, how did it get so dirty? We drove straight from like the airport on the highway back here. But there was a reason why we took the wrong car. But that's a whole other story. Ziad, awesome again. We had fun.
No, we
didn't.
And we're going to have lots more fun, inshallah.
Inshallah. To everyone else, till next week, inshallah.
Have a good weekend, inshallah. Travel safe.
Yes, brother Intando, thank you so much for holding us down. That's it from us, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
CII. See the whole picture.